This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
We actually know someone who covered Rutgers football, strangely enough.
We got on Friday's games. I got three bills on Rutgers.
Because he covers all of the Big Ten. Mike Hall is going to join us to talk about the Bears draft and their running back from Rutgers.
The Chicago Bears pick Kyle Manunga. He's running back for the Rutgers.
All right, Mr. Handsome, you tell us, what do the Bears have in Kyle Manunga?
Well, as you heard, he's from the Rutgers. Which is a big deal.
Amazing.
You know, you ought to take a few lessons from Jackie April, okay? Get your act together. Kid's pre-med at Rutgers. He finds time to come down here and help out.
So, Jackie, how's Rutgers?
I'm dropping out.
You know, when he was a sophomore, he led the Rutgers in rushing yards.
He mentioned that job over at Rutgers. He was interested in steering my way.
Little Jackie hyped us to a score at the Rutgers campus. Not bad.
He had augmented his kick this week with a stick-up out at Rutgers. Little Jackie put him on there.
By the way, the Rutgers? My dad went to Rutgers.
For the Rutgers!
My mom went to Douglas, which at the time was the female version of Rutgers.
It's for the Rutgers!
Yeah, I mean...
The pride of Rutgers. Slits his wrists in the faculty lounge after he stabbed the dean.
She did put the S on it, but I get it. It's the State University of New Jersey.
Yes. Well, we would take the S off here anyway, so that's fine.
That's true. He went to the Rutgers.
Here to comment is the governor, David Patterson.
I'm just going to try to hold on until 2012.
Well, there's no election in 2012.
Well, not for an election, Seth. 2012 is when the Mayans say the world will end. No more troubles for David Patterson. Everything will be reduced to rubble and flaming piles of garbage. Or as I like to call it, New Jersey!
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We are here with you until Cubs baseball, which will probably be around 5:05. But we'll see, because the stuff that went through here is going through Pittsburgh as we speak. So we'll see if it's a full show today or a truncated show or whatever. But the plan is for us to go until 5:05 when Cubs pregame gets underway. Here's what we have planned for you. Nico Horner is going to join us in about 10 minutes. We will talk with Danny Parkins. He'll be on the show at 3 o'clock. James Palmer will join us at 4. Alex Kuhn is here. Tanny is here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello!
And we've got you until Cubs baseball. Yesterday, you brought up the idea that with management and Shane parting ways, that we would address it as much as we could. I'll just say this before we start, and we don't have a ton of time, so I'm sorry for eating up the time. there are things that Spiegs and I just cannot say. So just so you know, you're probably not going to be satisfied with what it is that we have to say. And I'm sorry about that, but there are just things that we cannot say. I'll say that I met Shane a long time ago when he was a young, spirited producer, and I liked him because he had the same level of arrogance that I had when I was a young, spirited producer. And when he was younger, it caused us to clash, and that clash, I think, helped strengthen our relationship and friendship. I think that he is one of the most creative producers that has ever stepped foot in this building, and I am sad that I am not going to see him every day.
Yeah, man. Glad you got a chance to say it. The station and Shane deciding to part ways, it's been a lot to process. It's been sad. It's a management decision, and we got to leave it at that. And I think people will be unhappy with whatever, because the connection is real. I know it's hard for the listeners who loved him, and we feel you, and we can't say anymore. We got to respect the internal nature of it. I've absolutely loved making fun, improvised radio with that guy, and I care deeply about him as a friend. I think he's a phenomenal creative talent, and I know that we did great work together for a long, long time. We both, I know, wish him happiness and success, and I look forward to whatever he gets a chance to do. So it's a bummer, but it is what it is. So it goes, as Kurt Vonnegut says, and onward we have to roll.
The job doesn't define him, so. And that's something I think all of us could probably use a little dose of whether or not it defines us, even though these jobs are very personal.
Yeah, but that's true. And sometimes we get a chance to know. Like, you and I have both been on the beach at times. And when you're on the beach, you start to realize that the job can't define you. You got to be defined by who you are.
And when I was going through a really hard time, he brought me to the softball team, and that meant the world to me. Like, he actively recruited me to that team. And that, when I was going through it, and I told him that. I told him after that first season that it meant a lot to me to be pulled out of retirement to play on that team and have fun, even though we are the Buffalo Bills of the softball league, which sucks. And now I'm retired, so I can't even fix it.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of inside jokes and a lot of stuff that is just kind of going to fade away, and that part of it sucks.
Yeah, his presence here will and on air will be absolutely missed.
But
and
we got to build new ones.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
And we'll see what ends up happening here and with the show and with the spot. But he is definitely missed, for sure. We need to take a break. When we come back, Nico Horner is going to join us. We'll ask him about his mic'd up experience versus PCA's mic'd up experience. That's next here on The Score.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Inning six, second baseman number two, Nico Horner.
Hello, I got places to be.
Nico Horner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico. Oh, man.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
He's got good hair. Yes. He's jacked, too.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
It's called court awareness.
That's right.
Nico's got it.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
Two, that's on the ground. It's knocked down. It's flipped, and it's going to be a double play.
It's gold standard right there.
one smile to another. Great adjustment. And this is why the Chicago Cubs, another reason why they are so good, is up the middle. Nico Horner not panicking. Stanford to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, high GPA double play.
Nico, he lines one, base hit, past a diving Turner into left center. RBI single, Nico Horner. 3-2, is Stott going to be moving? Let's see. Nope, he's not running on the pitch. Bouncing ball towards second, diving stop, Horner shovels to Swanson. Great play by Nico.
And another one to Horner, who's a vacuum over there. And the Hoover throws over to first. That inning changed quickly after the leadoff walk.
Defense is exciting too, right? You want some entertainment? It's not all about homers. Some athletic play up the middle.
Nico Horner on 670 The Score.
How fun is that?
Nico Horner is brought to you by Huntington, home of asterisk free checking. Check out more at Huntington.com/your money. The Cubs are going to take on the Pirates tonight. I'm going to ask Nico to be the weatherman for us here. Nico, how are things in Pittsburgh right now?
Beautiful. Are we supposed to be expecting something?
Well, there was some talk that there could be, because there was some crazy high winds here, and that system is making its way through the area. There's the chance that there could be some inclement weather for you guys over the next 24 hours.
We're talking tornadoes or what?
Maybe. I wouldn't put it past.
As long as it's blowing out.
Get the ball up in the air.
I love that he has no idea about possible weather affecting his baseball game, but we're clued into the possible weather affecting our radio show. That's the thing, Nico. Like, we might have to do an extra hour if you guys don't start on time. So we're totally hip to it, but it doesn't mean a damn thing to you. That's beautiful in and of itself. What are you doing right now before what? We are 2.5 hours before pregames. What are we, 3 hours before first pitch? What's your usual game day mode right now, 3 hours before first pitch, and are we disrupting you?
No, it's actually pretty good timing today. First day on the road, I like to do early BP, which was at 1:30 today. It's really nice when you're at a road ballpark, you get just settled in and have the field to yourself. So I was out there with Pete, Bushy, and JT today. It's not at every first day of the series, but it's nice to do. And then pretty chill day the rest of the day. I won't hit on the field for the regular BP. You won't do double. So I've got a little time right now. Yeah.
Lawrence shared in the group thread the other day the story that Tim Kirkjian told about Dustin Pedroia showing up at the ballpark 8 hours before first pitch. 8 hours.
including the day of the marathon game, which is an 11:05 first pitch, and he would get there at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, I think the science would probably say the extra sleep would do more than whatever your routine is going to do. But I think belief in what you're doing is a big deal. So it obviously worked for him. One of the greats.
Nico, I wanted to ask you if you've seen it, because I know that your workout is pretty extensive as you get ready for games. Have you seen Paul Skeens's workout that he does? You're going to face him Wednesday afternoon, but his workout is pretty intricate. As pitchers continue to try to figure out ways to stay healthy and stay dominant, I'd love to know if you've checked it out and how did you put yours together?
I think the stuff I don't know that much about his stuff, but I've seen him do some stuff with water bags. It seems like a lot of core and rotational work, creating power from places other than your arm, I would assume, but I could be totally off.
No, you're 100% on it.
Okay. Pitching is much more of we're preparing once every 5 days. So the routine is obviously what they do in one day is much more than anything I ever do, but the daily nature of it, you don't really have room for that as a position player as much, I don't think. But it's, you got to have a routine, but also you can't be too married to something that you can't feel good at it if you don't have it, because there's going to be plenty of times in the year where the schedule or games or tornadoes throw issues in your plans. So can't be too regimented.
As long as that wind's blowing out though, right? You're not worried
That's
about
right.
it. Yeah.
No.
How's your arm feeling? Throwing seems to be pretty strong right now after the off-season surgery. How's it feel?
Yeah, it's going all right. I'm out there. getting better. I'm working on getting back to short for sure. So we've had a nice stretch of off days. So been able to throw from shortstop the day before off days, kind of maximizing that time for the last couple of weeks, which has been helpful to do. And whether it's for getting ready to play short or just kind of gaining confidence back and continuing to touch some higher velocities and reps, and then that's been really helpful.
Who's the backup shortstop right now if Dansby ever were to take an inning off? John Birdie?
Yeah, Birdie can play short. Nicky Lopez can play short.
Right, of
Bruhan
course.
Can play short. So we're pretty deep on infield work right now. All those guys can play all three spots.
So Nico, obviously a shortstop growing up. How many shortstops do the Padres have? Like Bogarts,
yeah.
A shortstop, Machado, Jackson Merrill was a shortstop.
Wasn't Tatis at one
Tatis,
point?
Yeah. Cronenworth,
yeah.
I think, was
Cronenworth
a shortstop.
Play there.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's insane. Merrill's now really good in center field. So what is that? Do you believe in this thing about shortstops just being able to play somewhere else if need be?
Yeah, and they had Profar before, too, who came up as a shortstop.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a position that kind of includes every skill set on the field. So I definitely think taking ground balls there is really helpful for me, no matter if I'm playing second or short or whatever I'm doing, just because I think it requires the most, but it also has it's also the most natural. And I think it's nice to feel your body move through, you know, comfortable spaces and feel athletic and then transfer that to second base or wherever else you play.
It's a nice long homestand for you guys, and there's some epic stuff that was going on inside of that homestand. It's super early. You know, we're not even a quarter through the season yet, but how do you deal with the emotion of Wrigley and how those games feel like they're later in the season because of the energy that can be generated by the crowd?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a luxury in a lot of ways, because I think for most of the league, they're having to create energy for themselves all the time, where we have like the luxury of a fan base that does that for us. I mean, there's never any excuse on our end of not having excitement or energy or, you know, gratitude or whatever it may be to be on the field in the big leagues and playing close games, because the fans remind you of that every single day. And so I think we have it easier in a lot of ways. It's amazing.
So are you hip to this stat that's been rolling around, this chart that's been rolling around, Nico, about teams with a record above 500 and teams with a record below 500 among your opposition? The Mets have won 20 games against teams that have a record below 500. The Cubs have won 0 games against teams that have a record below 500. That's how good the schedule is, and that's how good you guys have been playing. That's a pretty amazing thing right now, considering you guys are beating good teams every day.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been, you know, a lot has been made of the schedule from even before the season started, and you know, you knew that was going to be a test of sorts, but it's also, you know, a test now as we get into, you know, not having as many off days, pretty much being in the real grind of the season. And it shouldn't be like a knock on the Mets, like taking care of the games you're quote unquote supposed to win is as much a challenge as any other. But yeah, of course it's significant. I mean, we went through a stretch of facing, you know, some of the top right-handed starters in the game for about like 10-12 games in a row, it felt like, and you know, consistently put up really good numbers as a group and gave ourselves a chance to win every single day. So of course that's a big deal.
Did PCA ask you for any tips about being mic'd up?
No, he's fine by himself. He knows what he's doing.
He was a real natural. I thought it was one of the best that they've ever done. He seemed to have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, you're so far from the game out there. You can kind of do whatever you want. Just hang out and talk, so it's all right.
That's right. He wasn't worried about Shohei Ohtani sending 117 his way like you were.
Pete's great. Yeah, he's got a nice combo of taking things serious and also being lighthearted, and he brings amazing energy.
Yeah, man, he's a really thoughtful dude and a real emotional dude, right? You would like tell us about him, because like the emotions of that guy, he seems to He seems to vibrate on a pretty high emotional frequency, but does he calm down enough as well? It's a tough balance, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we play a sport that, you know, celebrates, oh, he's a good guy. Like, I don't know anything about him. You know, it's like, it's not that, and we have plenty of guys that are kind of don't express a ton and are very consistent. And I think those are valuable qualities, but it's also important within a group dynamic to have some variety. And he definitely spices it up. And I don't think it would do him or the team any good for him to try and act like, you know, not show anything or, you know, have a poker face through his entire season. I think that'd be exhausting for him to just pretend like he's something other than he is. And so his energy is always directed towards winning and enjoying the game and competing. And as long as it's genuine, you know, we have no issue with any of that because we know where he's coming from.
I know that players don't care about stats because you get paid off of stats, but some of the stats have been deemed lesser than others. And I kept thinking about Jameson Taillon, who over the last few starts has been out here shoving, but he ends up with no decisions in those games. First, how do you think he's been pitching and what's been successful for him? And do you guys even think about stuff like that when it happens?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, wins and losses, of course, they matter. You know, he's pitching to have a great outing, but he's ultimately pitching to win the game. And, like, he's a guy that, you know, he's playing to win the game. Obviously, there's nothing that he would do differently, but, of course, I'd rather him. The team get the win, but even more so when a guy pitches that well, you want them to get the win and have that because it does matter. And I think it is you pitch better than the other team's starting pitcher when you do that. And I think that's a big deal. As far as what he's doing so well, I mean, his mix to righties last year was really impressive. And I think the improvements he's made to lefties this year, I don't know if that's shown up statistically, but just his ability to mix cutter, four seam, change up on the outer line, and then go in when he needs to is just, he's a guy who's had a lot of success in his career, but is constantly looking for ways to improve and add to his game. And it's like that constant chase for improvement and making the most of your career. That is, it's really cool to see from guys that have been in the league for a long time and you know, had success, gotten paid, but it doesn't matter. It's just the continuous pursuit of finding something new and winning. And that's the fun in it too.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's totally his personality. It's so cool to hear you talk about teammates that you've now been teammates with for a long time and know well. Watching you giggle while on the ground the other night when you guys turned the double play, like you did kind of a Ben Johnson sort of stumble bum double play thing there. But oh my God, what were you laughing about, you and Dansby, as you walked off?
We just had some funky plays lately and I don't think I've ever had that play where I was in expecting a bunt still. It was like an up and in breaking ball hit hard at me, just like a weird kind of once in a season type of play. And, you know, there's so much work you do behind the scenes to like, you know, field the ball the right way and like process. But at a certain point, like when you're out there, just like straight up competing and finding a way to get the outs and sometimes it's ugly, but it's fun and big moment. And, yeah, it's nice to be able to enjoy those things.
Dansby shaved his head in a new commercial, Nico.
We're using air quotes.
Yeah.
Shaved his head.
It's, okay.
Yeah, so you haven't seen it?
I just saw him. I just saw him, so I confirmed that that's not real.
Right. Thank you for that that upfront reporting. We needed to know because it's right now for me, Nico, honestly, it's between him and Shota for the best lettuce. Like I think Shota's got some underappreciated lettuce going on.
Yeah, Shota's is great. One thing I love about Shota is he gets in the – we have like a lap pool in the training room that like has a little current. So you kind of swim in place. And he gets in there the day after it starts, I believe, kind of move around some soreness. But he wears a full like swim cap and goggles in there. And it kills me every time I go in there. And he's just floating around. And he's got something new every day at the ballpark. And I feel like every day he shows up and he's like, he's both taking care of his business, but he's also just figuring out how he can have fun at the field. And it's a good combo.
Oh, that is tremendous. I need that visual. You could take a picture. He won't mind.
No, don't do that. No, but don't do that.
But that is amazing. He loves the pool. He loves the pool. Dansby would never shave his head, though, right? Like, I can't imagine Dansby being okay.
He had a buzz cut in college. We had a picture resurfaced recently.
A long time ago.
I'm not sure. He's like pretty low key. I mean, for a guy that's always looks put together, he's pretty low key about his appearance. Like, he's not spending a lot of time in the mirror.
Good looking. Like, he kind of doesn't have to.
Just
like,
got that going on.
That's the problem. That's he's got the Pat Riley hair. Like, it's awesome. So,
did you hear about Roki Sasaki's request of the Dodgers that Stan Kroenke referenced? Did you guys hear about that, Nico?
No, I don't know about that.
Yeah, so Roki said that he would consider the Dodgers a little more if they got those fancy Japanese toilets that have like the bidet and the warmed seats. And stuff like that. And so they got 8 of them. They have 8 of them in the Dodger Stadium home locker room. Yeah.
I mean, I was not on the Japan trip, but I did hear reports of of comfortable bathroom experiences. So,
Those things are the truth, man. You guys deserve those.
Yeah. So, I mean, hey, that's recruiting to the next level. Take care of the players.
What makes a good road clubhouse for you?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. Food's a huge part of it. Not necessarily the fanciest, but I like places that have, like, some feeling of the place that you're in, right? That, like, you know, they're bringing out something that's, like, of the area.
So, like, Permanti Brothers sandwiches in Pittsburgh with the fries in them? That sort of thing?
Yeah, Pittsburgh's not super high on that one for me, for the food side of things. LA tacos is always good. Miami, they have like the Cuban coffee with like the crazy sugar and espresso, like super strong. I like that. Seattle has super good seafood. Just, you know, things like that that make you feel like you're actually traveling and not just, you know, in the back room somewhere. But food's a big part of it.
What a phenomenal answer. Indigenous cuisine. It's like, it reminds, when you didn't go on the Japan trip, we talked about you should get some sushi in Arizona. And you were like, hell no, I'm not getting sushi in Arizona. Get the local food. Beautiful.
Yeah, that's funny. No, sometimes those places at the smaller clubhouses actually kind of bring people together too. So not always the fanciest ones that are the best.
That's true. Well, Nico, have fun out there. Good luck. I hope that you guys don't have to deal with an earthquake or a tornado or a hurricane or anything else tonight in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and if it is, it'll hopefully be after 5 innings and we're up 3-1 or something. So
I like that idea. That would be great. And a short night, and then you guys can go hit the streets or go to the Andy Warhol Museum, which is right around the corner from the ballpark. There's a lot of stuff in Pittsburgh. It's a good place. Be well, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Nico.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
We'll see you, man.
I haven't been back to PNC in a while.
I've never been, and I'm embarrassed. I'm more embarrassed of that than I am of not seeing Predator. That's for damn sure.
I'm not kidding. The Andy Warhol Museum is literally around the corner from PNC Park.
I've heard it's absolutely unbelievable, too.
When are the White Sox going there?
It's mid-July.
When is any other team going there?
Well,
that's kind of how I feel about it. Right now, everyone's like, oh, we're going to make our annual trip to PNC because the Sox are there? I'm like, actually, what about the Padres? Or something. Let's switch it up a little bit, huh?
Go see some team you don't get a chance to see.
Yeah. Well, I know when you can go see the White Sox in Colorado. 4th of July weekend.
Oh, yeah, you do.
That's what America wants right there.
Folks, Lawrence Holmes is breathlessly watching the rivalry between the 2024 Chicago White Sox and the 2025 Colorado Rockies. Because the Rockies have a real shot to lose more games than the White Sox.
I mean, the rivalry between the 2025 White Sox and the 2025 Rockies might be a thing, too, which is why I'm kind of interested in going. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
I have a thing against Denver, okay? I have a thing against Denver.
What did Denver do to you?
Their airport is the worst in America. Of a major city, the Denver airport is the worst in America.
All the people and business owners, all the donut shops, the comic book shops of Denver.
They do have voodoo donuts out in Denver, which is great.
You're going to make them pay for the misdeeds of the airport planners?
They have Torchy's Tacos out there in Denver. That's great, too. Denver, I'm not against the state of Colorado. It's just that when you get to Denver, and I had someone who lived in Colorado say this to me, and it made all the sense in the world. When you go to Denver, you think that you're in the mountains, and you're not. And you're like, oh, the mountains are over there.
Great view at Coors Field. You can see them.
Yeah, I will say I do like Coors, and I know that it's, what, a 30-year-old ballpark? I do like the ballpark, but getting to it, not great.
Well, hold on. Like, so the Mile High City, you're not in the mountains? You're elevated, but you're not in the mountains?
You're elevated, and you're not in the mountains. So, like, if, because, look, you can get up to, what, 13, 14,000 feet in, like, Breckenridge and stuff like that. It's weird. You go there, and you're like, oh, I'm going to be in the mountains. And you're not. You're elevated, but, and that's another thing. I like Boulder a ton. Boulder is beautiful. I can't afford it, but Boulder is...
Yeah, Boulder's like the beautiful little kind of enclave in a very odd state, is the way I've heard it described.
And I've been told that Colorado Springs is absolutely fantastic. But the Denver airport, for the Dan and I used to talk about this on middays all the time. There's a lot of stuff about the Denver airport. Just do a dive. Do a deep dive. Alex, why are you shaking your head?
You could do a real deep dive on that and end up in a wormhole. I'm just saying, it's dangerous.
Look,
what are you talking about?
I don't want to get too deep into it. But
I think you have to now, but that's all right. You can do it at the break, I suppose.
There's a lot of, some would say, occult stuff that goes on there.
At the Denver airport?
Yes, including there is a blazing Bronco statue in the front of the airport, and the history of that is that the guy who made the airport, it fell on him and he died. There's a lot of
so he has haunted the Denver airport.
There's a lot of question on why the airport is so far away from the actual city.
That's the most like macabre thing about the Denver airport, is that it's so far away from Denver itself.
I don't know.
Like, that's a really haunting experience when you take an Uber or a cab, it's like an hour.
Yes. The Flaming Bull sounds pretty haunting.
Are the
terminals in the shape of a pentagram as well?
You're getting warm. Just, I'm telling you, it. Look, and then when you get there, it's like, ooh, there is something. I mean, that Satan doesn't.
And when you land, you're about 5 miles away from the terminal.
Yes,
yeah. Satan runs a pretty tight ship. Now, so if that's a high functioning airport, even?
No, that's another one of the problems. But I'll give them credit for this. They do have a free train that will take you downtown, and it's like a choo choo train. Like they'll take you downtown. But it is, Denver's weird. But I'm willing to go back.
Dude, I don't know, but you might need to
see White Sox Rockies on 4th of July weekend.
You should fly in somewhere else and then rent a car.
Yes.
And drive
that,
in.
That is literally what my friend who lived in Colorado Springs said.
You're getting a lot of support via text about the Denver airport being odd and problematic.
I mean, one could wonder on what that ground is made of, like where the airport is built. One, there have been thoughts on, like, that is where the shadow government might be because of how far away it is.
What do you think,
is.
Alex, huh? Hey. Yeah? So you agree? Is that
ready, he's ready to jump in now.
Alex Jones?
Let's get to a break.
Yep.
I didn't know which Alex we had here. Lawrence, you really got to read the chaos book that me and Tanny have read, or I'm still reading because Tanny's so far ahead of me. But anyway, yeah, the conspiracy stuff. It sounds like you're ready. You're more ready
just,
than I thought.
Just look it up and experience it. People who know, know. Danny Parkins is going to join us next here on The Score.